You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
The story of the Hindi film industry this year was as befuddling as Shriram Raghavan's Andhadhun, where nothing was as it appeared to be. And when the only predictable blockbusters were filmy weddings starring Sonam Kapoor and Anand Ahuja, Deepika Padukone and Ranveer Singh, Priyanka Chopra and Nick Jonas. These extended celebrations broke the internet. What a resilient thing this internet, I have to say. Engaged frenetically tweeting fingers and awestruck eyeballs and spawned destination wedding dreams and couture schemes for brides-to-be. Clue, it's either Sabyasachi or go home. This was also the year when the queen herself, Lady Beyoncé Giselle Knowles Carter, leader of the Beehive and savior of the masses, entertained guests at Udaipur during the Big Fat Ambani Sangeet. Some superstars served food at the wedding hosted at Antilia, India's answer to Buckingham Palace. Lata Mangeshkar, the queen herself, emerged from retirement to record the Gayatri Mantra for the very same wedding. And at least one much-critiqued and later deleted article in The Cut claimed that Priyanka Chopra was a global scam artist. The now-withdrawn piece also implied that her nuptials, and those we presume obviously included that 75-foot-long veil, were fake and part of an elaborate marketing exercise. Was it? We don't know. The attending staff at the Taj Lands End would feel too bad if their jijaji turned out to be a publicity stunt. Much more happened, including the untimely death of one of the brightest stars of the country, and these stories are what we will present to you in a few acts on this edition of our year-end podcast series. Three weddings and a funeral and everything in between. With me, Rakesh, on Digging Deeper with Money Control.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
2018, a year when the Dream Factory took a reality check.
The superstars were cut down to size as in Anand L. Rai's Zero, and sometimes metaphorically when they realized they were mere mortals, as when Kannada star Yash's KGF Chapter 1 outstripped the much-touted SRK starer Zero. This was also the year when mere mortals like Ayushman Khurana almost laid his hands on superstardom on the back of not one but two small-budget hit films that worked only because they did something Hindi cinema has forgotten to do: take its audience by surprise and not for granted. Yes, we are talking about Badhai Ho and Andhadhun. Clichés about macho nationalism fell by the wayside as when a young female actor with more talent than can be contained in one-dimensional roles got together with a woman director and gave the industry a 200 crore hit called Razi, a film that turned the commonplace notion of patriotism on its head and presented a Kashmiri girl as an all-sacrificing nationalist. And this was also the year when the audience did not just want to suspend their disbelief, but to believe in a story, a character they could identify with, and to engage with cinema. But of course, there was plenty more to occupy them of the ADD-riddled brains, in 2018. The paparazzi's obsession with Taimur Ali Khan, for example, and the airport looks of stars. Priya Warrior's wink in Malayalam film Oru Aadhar Love, trivia about who danced with whom and who looked through whom at celebrity weddings, and another season of Coffee with Karan, where a new generation of stars regurgitated the same old gossip about family trees, love and heartbreak, with an incentive to win an Audi for the best answer, no less. And of course, on display was Johar's continuous support for the top-rung stars and their siblings or children who got a free pass to fame and fortune thanks to that reviled word, nepotism. A word that the spunky Sara Ali Khan defanged when she eloquently conceded that indeed she was aware of her privilege and the fact that she had bagged a Karan Johar film even before her first one had released was an example of nepotism. Perhaps Columbia University taught her something after all. There was, of course, Janhvi Kapoor, who remained non-committal about everything except the most mundane details about her childhood, and with rumours now claiming that younger sister Khushi will also be making her debut with Dharma Productions, it is clearer more than ever that Johar revels in his guardianship of fledgling starlings. And come to think of it, if we just go by how Johar's star protege Alia Bhatt is faring, would it be fair to say that he's promoting talent rather than genealogy? Perhaps, but one only wishes he had a little more grace about it. Stop making sense might make for a half-decent tongue-in-cheek tagline for a frothy chat show, but adopting it as a life mantra is just that, nonsensical. There were some heart-rending shockers as well this year. The illnesses of Irfan, Sonali Bendre, Nafisa Ali and Rishi Kapoor. And the biggest one of them all, the demise of a true goddess, Sridevi. And all the controversy surrounding Sanjay Leela Bhansali's Padmavat that quietened magically post its release and contributed quite a bit to the massive amounts of audience interest and the inevitable box office success. We'll get into some of these in a little more detail, so stick with us. Let's start with the usual suspects and then a few not-so-usual ones. We can't seem to stop referring to Andhadhun's mind-bending plot twists while recounting this year's box office numbers because really, nobody foresaw the possibility that of the 12 super hits in the 100 crore club this year, four lead players would not be the usual money spinners or the invincible superstars who sometimes churn films with zero substance. No, seriously, no pun there. And end up busting first-day collection records. Well, not this year. And believe it or not, the star turn in one of this year's biggest hits, Badhai Ho, was by Neena Gupta. Yes, her of Saas and Choli Ke Piche Kya Hai fame. Range, I tell you. And the biggies that failed to live up to expectations, oh, there were a few. Thugs of Hindustan, or The Duds of Hindustan, and most recently, Zero, which is, well, Zero. And we don't need to tell you who starred in those films. Some may say that this year, content was king, but the success of Banal Part 2, Sonu Ke Titti Ki Sweeti Ki Whatever, reminded us that misogynistic writing still scores big and strikes a chord with a large chunk of the audience. Baghi 2 earned 25.1 crore rupees net on its opening day, marking the biggest opening day of 2018, ahead of even Padmavat. It also marked the biggest Good Friday opening, the third biggest opening in the last 15 months, behind Tiger Zinda Hai and Golmaal Again, and was the seventh biggest for an action film. It was a critically panned remake of Telugu film Kshanam. It also proved that a superstar in the making can make anything convincing, even a film that makes up for the absence of a good story. An honourable mention must be made of Stree, which earned 124.56 crore rupees, that plays on obvious misogynistic tropes demonising women, but turns out to be a film that in fact asks the questions to question their own prejudices in a way that is not preachy, but surprisingly enlightening. Stree, good job. With Badhai Ho, which made 134.44 crores, Ayushman Khurana proved once again that he has a knack for picking up winning scripts and that he's aware of his limitations as a star and is instead willing to be an actor and play the flawed common man caught in uncommon circumstances in film after small budget film. And this is a formula that seems to be working for him. And there's Rajkumar Rao, who starred in Stree and who is fast becoming middle-of-the-road cinema's lucky mascot, a la Amol Palekar, at one point. An important thing to note is that there seems to be an emerging breed of producers and directors willing to break away from the clutter, with films like Badhai Ho, directed by Amit Sharma, Stree, directed by Amar Kaushik, and both these films explore themes that are unfamiliar in the commercial context. Middle-aged sexuality and an urban legend suffused with moving gender sensitivity. If those films can make money, take note, producers of the country, your stories that you always thought would not make money because they're off the beaten path can too. One cannot anymore disregard the role that good writers play in the success of a film. Were we not once an industry that was built on the shoulders of writers, dare I even say scholars, like Khwaja Ahmed Abbas, Abrar Alvi, Jainendra Jain, Gulzar, Gulshan Nanda, Satyadev Dubey, Salim Javed, and many more, how and when and why did it become all about pandering to the mythical superpowers of stars? Perhaps what is suddenly making them look vulnerable, after all, is the fact that film-going audiences no longer have to put up with Friday releases for their dose of entertainment. Now they can sit at home and watch the best of international and national programming in the comfort of their homes, and they will make the trip to the cinema hall only when they smell a fresh plot. Perhaps that's the best thing that Netflix and Prime Video and Hotstar have done. I will step out only if you give me enough reason to step out. That Meghna Gulzar's Razi mined the wealth of information and research in Harinder Sikka's 2008 novel Calling Sehmat bodes well for writers. And of course, here we will not mention that other person whose quote-unquote books have gone on to become blockbusters because, well, Chetan Bhagat A is not a writer and B because he was in the news for all the wrong reasons this year. The average response to Manmarzia proved that even habitual genre benders like Anurag Kashyap have to now replace their fast-depleting bag of storytelling tricks. K.V. Vijayendra Prasad is a case in point of a writer's growing heft in the scheme of things, because he not only wrote Bahubali and Bajrangi Bhaijaan, but he has also written Kangana Ranaut's Weird Flex, Manikarnika, the Queen of Jhansi. And Vikram Chandra's Sacred Games, in its Netflix adaptation, outdid most big films with its ability to engross audiences worldwide. It is, however, unfair to say that 2018 is a particularly path-breaking year because filmmakers like Dibakar Banerjee of Khosla Ka Ghosla, Love, Sex and Dhoka, Oi Lucky Lucky Oi, Shanghai, Byomkesh Bakshi, Shujit Sarkar of Yahan, Vicky Dona, Madras Cafe, Piku, Vikramaditya Motwane of Udaan and Lutera, and of course Anurag Kashyap himself, among many others, have been diligently chipping away at this formidable star system fed by big production houses for years now. So 2018 does not bring anything new in that way, but has certainly contributed much bigger in the belief that these things and these trips off the beaten path can be successful. But it would also be, of course, foolhardy to believe that superstars have lost all their charm and are a spent force. Not for nothing are they called superstars. Even when some of them may seem to have left their glory behind, their life story can still sell tickets, as was the case with Rajkumar Hirani's Sanju. That unabashedly hero-worshipped Sanjay Dutt left out crucial details from his life and still managed an opening of 34.75 crore rupees nationwide. If that film were a feature story in a magazine, we would call it a puff piece. Now, that puff piece on film went on to earn 334 crore rupees. So, well, what can I say? Critically panned Race 3 with an ensemble cast of Salman Khan, Anil Kapoor, Bobby Deol, Jacqueline Fernandez, Saqib Saleem and Daisy Shah cornered an opening of 29 crore rupees and managed to earn 166 crore rupees. And even though the numbers were less than expected, they were still decent enough. To paraphrase an immortal line that launched a thousand memes from that film, their business is their business and none of our business. And then there was Duds of Hindustan, which despite petering out after a 52 crore rupee opening, still managed to earn over 150 crore rupees, somewhat breaking even. I'm guessing. Akshay Kumar, another person who made the news, clearly has taken a few lessons from Professor Snape and has figured out the magic potion in which star power and nationalism combined to produce box office gold, and was able to succeed once again with Gold, which was his biggest opener ever and earned 25.5 crore rupees on the opening day. The film that recreates India's hockey win at the 1948 Olympics collected over 104 crore rupees domestically. His Padman, or as my South Indian mother read it, Padman, despite charges of plagiarism, did modestly well as well. And then there was Veere the Wedding, that despite its token overtures to feminism, was essentially a slickly produced film about a wedding, designer sets and wardrobes, and token female bonding over heartbreak, dysfunctional families, sterile marriages, weight issues, and too much money and too little love. Boo-hoo. It did, however, earn about 138 crore rupees worldwide to emerge as one of the highest-grossing Hindi films featuring a female lead. And that is a good thing, I'm guessing. I'm all for it. Feminism, excellent. It's a wonderful thing that female-led films are doing so well. But must these films be representative of female-led films? It was terrible. And then, of course, there are some stars that apparently go on and on and on. Like Rajnikanth, Lord of the Memes, whose 2.0 was released worldwide in both 3D and conventional format on 29th of November 2018, along with its dubbed versions in Hindi and Telugu. 3D can't contain Rajnikanth, man, what are you saying? It was a film where even the heir to Manoj Kumar's Bharat, Akshay Kumar, himself agreed to play the villain. The film went on to earn 117.34 crore rupees worldwide on its first day, which was the second highest ever for an Indian film. The film crossed 520 crore rupees in its opening weekend to become the highest grossing film worldwide for that week. Worldwide for that week, by the way, including all the films made everywhere else. 2.0 is the second highest grossing film in India and is the sixth highest grossing Indian film worldwide, and it is still running in theatres. Post the uproariously successful Bahubali franchise, this is yet another example of South Indian cinema's growing pan-Indian appeal, and has perhaps resulted in collaborations like Kannada actor Yash's KGF Chapter 1 that is being brought to the Hindi film audiences by Farhan Akhtar. Debutant director Akash Khurana's road movie Karma had Malayalam star Dulkar Salman in an endearing role that brought home the fact that regional boundaries are blurring. Dulkar, of course, son of the Malayalam legend Mammootty, also played Jemini Ganeshan, actress Rekha's father to those who simply do not want to know anything about anything south of India's, in the wonderful film Mahanati, which was a biopic of the iconic South Indian actress Savitri. So that was yet another bright spot in the world of films from the south of the Vindhyas. And now for the controversies. Despite an inaccurate interpretation of Sufi poet and Peer Malik Muhammad Jaisi's epic poem Padmavat, a rather black and white portrayal of good and evil, and disturbing glorification of self-immolation and caste chauvinism, Sanjay Leela Bhansali's Padmavat scored big at the box office, and how? Padmavat had all the intellectual heft of a Tinkle comic, one of the bad ones, mind, because Tinkle rocks. But as was expected from a Bhansali film, it excelled at visual grandeur and all the violent protests by fringe outfits against its release, as we said before, in fact, fueled mass curiosity and worked in favour of the film. With a production budget of 2.15 billion rupees, Padmavat released post many delays on the 25th of January 2018 in 2D, 3D, IMAX 3D, 8D, whatever, making it the first Indian film to be released on IMAX 3D. Despite not being released in some states, Padmavat cornered a mind-boggling 100 crore rupee haul domestically in the first week of its release and went on to garner over 280 crore rupees. So in this case at least, all was well, because the film ended on a triumphant profit-making note despite vandalization of sets and buses, threats issued to Deepika Padukone and numerous cuts by the censor board. Let's not forget about those threats, because it's important to understand how mobocracy also touches the film industry. An official of the Haryana unit of the BJP, one Sunny Pal called Suraj Pal, even announced a reward of 10 crore rupees to anyone who would bring him the heads of Deepika Padukone and Sanjay Leela Bhansali. Our pal Sunny Pal was only upping the ante, for his mate from Meerut had earlier declared a 5 crore rupee reward. It's like an auction at Sotheby's, except disappointing and disgusting in every way. In another controversy, the 65th National Film Awards evoked quite a bit of reaction even before they commenced, when it was announced that President Ramnath Kovind would present only some of the awards. According to norm, the National Film Awards in all the categories are handed over to the winners by the President of India personally. Over 60 awardees wrote an open letter in protest, and over 50 winners stayed away from the ceremony. Tanushree Dutta. Tanushree Dutta's outspoken stand against Nana Patekar took on entrenched sexism and kickstarted a movement that sent heads rolling and brought stomach-churning casting practices in the industry out in the open. Despite names like Vikas Bel, Alok Nath and Sajid Khan being cited by survivors, the big guns as yet remain impervious to the movement, unlike in Hollywood, where even the likes of Kevin Spacey and studio giants like Harvey Weinstein have been named and shamed and have charges pressed against. In another horrifying story, a Supreme Court lawyer filed a case against singer Papon, who was caught on film kissing a minor contestant of a reality show. And Anu Malik was also accused of inappropriate behavior. Jitendra was accused of sexual misdemeanor by a cousin decades after the alleged assault happened in a Shimla hotel room in 1971. Mika Singh was arrested in Dubai for sending objectionable pictures to a 17-year-old Brazilian model, but was back just in time to sing at TV host and actor Kapil Sharma's wedding. Show business. The biggest collective heartbreak was of course experienced this year when India's eternal sweetheart, Sridevi, passed away in a Dubai hotel on the 24th of February at the age of 54, leaving behind conjectures and the occasionally insensitive social media post. Her fleeting cameo in Shah Rukh Khan's Zero will be possibly her last glimpse on the silver screen. Among the others who passed on this year were veteran actor Rita Bhaduri, everybody's favourite auntie Shammi, and director Kalpana Lajmi. This was also a year that saw a few debates and clashes. The nepotism debate erupted once again when Shashank Khaitan's Dhadak, a film produced lavishly by Karan Johar, watered down the caste questions raised by Nagaraj Manjule's searing Marathi hit Sairat to create a sanitized, cosmetically pleasing launch vehicle for Janhvi Kapoor and Ishan Khattar. And Sara Ali Khan managed to make quite an impression with Abhishek Kapoor's Kedarnath, which also ran into a controversy because of its Hindu-Muslim love story and Sara's battle over dates with Abhishek Kapoor. Salman Khan bankrolled the debut of brother-in-law Ayush Sharma in the forgettable Love Yatri, erstwhile Love Ratri, while the late Vinod Mehra's son Rohan made his debut in Nikhil Advani's Bazaar. Queen of controversy Kangana Ranaut clashed with director Ketan Mehta, who accused her of hijacking his dream project about the Rani of Jhansi. In August 2018, Kangana took over the direction of Manikarnika, the Queen of Jhansi, after the film's director Krish got busy with his biopic on N.T. Ramarao, the Telugu superstar. Rumours have suggested that Krish Jagaralamudi quit the project after seeing a picture of a clapboard with Kangana's name on it as the director. Clarifications were then issued that he's still the captain of the ship while the leading lady is helming certain portions, though later it was added that Kangana would indeed be sharing directorial credit. Top-notch producer Prerna Arora, the force behind Kriraj Entertainment and films like Toilet Ek Prem Katha and Pari, ran into trouble when she and director Abhishek Kapoor clashed during the Kedarnath schedule, and later John Abraham, her co-producer of Parmanu, the story of Pokhran, took her to court over criminal charges of cheating, breach of trust, and so on.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
2018, a year when the Dream Factory took a reality check.
In a nutshell, this was the year of the underdogs like Tanushree Dutta and Vinta Nanda, brave cinematic outings by young directors, and most of all, audiences who called the shots and forced the industry to introspect and to look beyond what supposedly sells and learn how to tell new stories convincingly and within a sane budget. And so the biggest Dream Factory did a reality check in 2018. And the only thing certain about 2019 is that the Indian film industry will throw up some surprises, some old recipes, and hopefully narratives that reflect not past cinematic bromides, but more refreshing slices of life and talents that have earned their right to be in the spotlight. So they too may earn the same love and respect that the likes of Sridevi did when it is their time to say goodbye. Thank you for joining us.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast. And you have been listening to Money Control.